Our scripture reading this morning is from Ezekiel, the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 34. And if you are using the Pew Bible, it is page 915. Ezekiel 34, I'm going to start reading. The verses I'll read are a little bit different than what are printed in the bulletin. I changed my mind on that. I'll start at verse 11. And read through 16 and then 23 to 31. But just a brief introduction to this passage. The prophet Ezekiel received visions within the 20-year period between 593 and 573 B.C. He was one of the Hebrew captives who lived in exile in Babylon. In the passage that we're going to read, God is criticizing both the leaders of the people of Israel and also the people themselves. The leaders referred to here as shepherds of Israel have been looking after themselves, and they have failed to feed and protect God's sheep, whom God has entrusted to their care. On the other hand, the sheep themselves also have been mistreating one another. And the result of this combined failure of the leaders and of the people is that the sheep are scattered. They're in poor condition and they are in danger. But God will not allow this to go on. He will hold both the shepherds and the abusive sheep accountable, and he will come himself as a shepherd to seek, gather, bring back his sheep that have strayed, and he will minister to the injured and the weak. So with that background, let's look at these verses. Ezekiel 34, and I'll start reading at verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. And then moving to verse 23. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will send down the showers in their season. They shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. They shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beasts of the land devour them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, and with them, that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. May the Lord bless this reading of his word to our understanding. This morning, we begin a series of messages that will focus on our new vision statement, gathering a community to live for Christ. There are a number of different images that the Bible gives to us that describe the vision and the mission of the church. We have chosen the prominent biblical idea of gathering to use in our vision statement. Gathering suggests both going out and bringing in. Going out to seek those who have been separated from God and bringing them back into a relationship with him, along with all of the blessings that go with that. And so we can speak of the church as those who gather, but also as those who have themselves been gathered. This morning, we'll see that gathering is the work of God. It's the work of Jesus, and it's the work of the church. First, gathering is the work of God. In the passage that we just read, God says in verse 11, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. God portrays himself here as a shepherd who has sheep that are lost and scattered, and he actively goes out to pursue them. And when he finds them, he says in verse 13 that he will gather them from the countries, from the nations, and bring them into their own land. At this time in the history of Israel, most of the people literally have been scattered among the nations because of the Babylonian invasion and conquest. Israel had broken faith with God and rebelled against him instead of enjoying the blessings of having him living in their midst. And so now they're living in exile, out of his presence, removed from the promised land. But God is promising here to change that. He's promising to bring them back, to gather them. Now, it's important to see here that this is not just about a people returning to their homeland. These days, we see people being displaced from their homes and from their countries because of warfare and because of natural disasters. And they become refugees in other countries, and many long to return to their homes, and I think we can appreciate that. But when God promises to bring Israel back to their land, there's more to this than just going home. There's also the very important dimension of bringing them back to where God is, where he will be with them as their God, and where they will enjoy rich fellowship with him and receive all of the blessings that come from being in God's presence. In verses 13 through 15, there's all this language about God feeding them and giving them good pasture and grazing land, and how he will cause them to lie down and rest in safety. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, God says. So this is God's goal, you see. It's his plan to gather a people for himself, a people who will live for him, and a people who will be blessed by him, a people to whom God will be their God. That's the great promise of the covenant that God makes with Israel. It's the promise that's echoed throughout the Bible, from the book of Genesis all the way through to the book of Revelation. Now, it's important to see that this promise that God makes through Ezekiel involves more than just the nation of Israel. It starts with Israel, but from there it also extends to the nations. Israel's return from exile will mark the beginning of blessing for people from every part of the globe. All nations will see the light of God's presence in Israel, and they'll be drawn to it. We see that in other prophecy passages in the Old Testament. And so the gathering of Israel is a stepping stone to the gathering of the nations. And where we see all of this coming to a head and being fulfilled is in Jesus Christ. The Old Testament nation of Israel did return after their 70 years of exile in Babylon. They returned to Palestine, but they never rose to the prominence and the glory of which the prophets speak, about which Ezekiel speaks here in this passage. From the time of the return to the time of the Roman Empire, Israel was always an occupied country, occupied by foreign nations. And even the temple that had been rebuilt was destroyed in 70 AD, never to be built again. Now, some people are still looking for the temple to be rebuilt in Jerusalem, but I think those who are looking for a reconstruction of the nation of Israel on earth missed the point of the scriptures, which are intended to point us to Christ. Jesus says that he is the temple of God that would be destroyed and then in 3 days be raised again. He is Israel, exiled and rejected by God, but then returns to his Father's house. And it's through him that all nations of the earth are drawn and gathered to God. And they're not drawn to Palestine, but to the Jerusalem that is above. Not to an earthly temple, but to a heavenly one. Old Testament Israel and the temple in Jerusalem were types and pictures pointing us to the reality that's found in Christ. And so when Jesus came, you see, these older things fade away. We just have Jesus, which is all we need. Well, what's important for us to see here is that this passage from Ezekiel speaks to us, okay? It's not just speaking to the Israelites who are captive in Babylon. The gathering work of God spoken of here extends to us right now, in our day, and before our eyes. God is about this very work of gathering a people for himself. Now, that should give us hope about our future. It should encourage us that there's more to life than this present world, that God is actively involved in a work of new creation, and he is actively seeking people and gathering people to be a part of it. My question to you today is, have you strayed from God? Are you lost out there by yourself? Have you been injured by life experiences or perhaps let down by false promises, promises that come from philosophy or science or government or even religion? Are you weak and are you feeling tired? Know that God is seeking. He is seeking such people. He is seeking to gather them to himself so that they can be with him and experience showers of blessing, as it's put here in this passage. It should encourage us to know that God is interested in us, that he has compassion for us in our plight, and he wants us to receive his blessings. We do not have a God who is aloof and unconcerned. He's the one who pursues us, even when we have strayed from him. And we see the lengths to which he will go to bring us back to him. And we see that when we look at Jesus. And that brings us to the second point. It's this gathering work is the work of Jesus. Jesus, again, is the fulfillment of this passage in Ezekiel. In verse 23, God says, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. And this shepherd will do for them everything that God says he will do. This David will be a ruler, a prince among them. He will bring peace, security, prosperity, and glory. Now, of course, King David lived 400 years before Ezekiel wrote these things, so we're not literally talking about David here. David has long since died, but God is speaking of a descendant of David who would sit on David's throne, who would rescue and who would rule over the people of God. And that descendant, we now know, is Jesus of Nazareth. In fact, Jesus describes himself in Matthew's gospel as the one sent to the lost sheep of Israel. He also says, I have come to seek and to save the lost. He's the shepherd in the parable he tells about the man who searches for his lost sheep. Using a different metaphor for gathering, Jesus calls himself Lord of the harvest, who presides over a large ingathering of crops from fields that are ready to be harvested. John the Baptist describes Jesus as the one who gathers his wheat into the barn. There's also the parable of the dragnet, in which Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven as a net cast out to gather in fish. And in John's gospel, Jesus speaks of drawing all people to himself when he is lifted up on the cross. And the reference there, that's John 12, verse 32. The reference there to all people in that passage is a specific reference to the inclusion of the nations. So it's clear that Jesus sees himself as the center of this gathering activity of God. He sees himself as the fulfillment of prophecies like this one in Ezekiel 34, and he connects this gathering work specifically with his death on the cross. It would be by paying the price for sin that he would make people acceptable to be gathered into the presence of a holy God. All of this is to say that if we are to be included in this gathering, we must be gathered to God through Jesus. There's no other way. God's promise is to gather a people who includes, to gather a people. This promise also includes the idea that he will send a shepherd. That's what God says in Ezekiel. If we want to be fed, if we want to be protected, If we want to be given peace and receive showers of blessing from God, then we must look to the one through whom these things come. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life for his sheep. And as the Good Shepherd, he also gathers his sheep by calling them to follow him. And those who listen to his voice will find healing, provision, security, rest, eternal life. Now, for us here at Lansdale Presbyterian, it's important for us to remember that the work of gathering is also the work of the church. And this brings us to the third point. Part of what it means to follow Jesus as our shepherd is to join with him in this gathering work. Jesus, who is Lord of the harvest, calls on us to pray for workers to go out into God's fields that are ripe for harvest. Jesus calls us to be fishers of men. He calls us to go and make disciples of all nations. He tells us that he who does not gather with me scatters. Now, right now, the elders of our church are thinking and praying about specific ways in which we as a church can be a church that gathers. It's nice to grow in numbers. But if we're just growing because people are leaving other churches to come here, then we're not really engaged in the work of gathering. We're just reorganizing what's already been gathered. So what are some things that we can do right now? One has already been stated. We should pray. One of the things that we can all do is pray that the Lord would use our ministry to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. We have to remember that gathering is, first of all, the work of God. We can't go about the work of gathering without acknowledging the need for God's involvement and without asking him for his blessing on our efforts. Right? A passage I quote all the time. You might be getting tired of hearing it. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Make this a top item of prayer on your prayer lists. Pray to the Lord when you pray alone, when you pray with family, when you pray in small groups, in committee meetings. Pray to the Lord and keep this request that God will bring believers, new believers, into his kingdom through our ministry. So that's one thing, pray. Second is we can be welcoming. What can we do to help people feel at home here at our church? Are we friendly to new people? Are we careful about the words that we use when we speak about things? This is one we've been talking about a lot. We can't assume that everyone who comes through our doors is going to agree with us. So are we being sensitive to people who might not share our views? Topics like same-sex marriage or abortion or education or poverty. How to deal with those things. Controversial topics. Different ideas. We need to learn to speak about these things truthfully, all right? We don't want to compromise the truth. But at the same time, we need to speak about them with respect for the person who may disagree with us. Another aspect of being welcoming is hospitality. Willing to have someone over for a meal and other ways of demonstrating that we are people who care about other people and we want them to be a part of what we are doing. Another way that we can do the work of gathering is by living consistently in our Christian lives. that we are practicing our faith, not just professing it, but practicing it in our homes and in our jobs and in our schools, that our lives are testimonies. We talked about this last time. How we live speaks to others, not just our words, but our lives. And if we want to be effective in the work of gathering, we must be living the faith that we profess. And so we need to be loving others. We need to be standing for the truth. We need to be living that truth even when it's not convenient, even when it's difficult for us to do that, even though it may go against what we desire. Living consistently before the Lord. Another one I'll just mention in passing, because we've talked about this one, but it's inviting others to come and be a part of our worship services and small groups and other activities that we do here at the church, so that they'll experience the community that we have here as God's people and hear the truth of His Word. And then finally, we've been talking about this a lot in the last sermon series about sharing our faith with others and speaking with others about the gospel. But we need to be talking about our faith with other people. Let's again pray for opportunities, and then pray for boldness to share our faith with others. We are looking for ways to better encourage and equip ourselves as God's people in this area. I think the elders have recognized that we have a need in this area. And so there'll be more to come on this. I'd just like to close with a brief story. Some of you may have heard this before. Concerns a minister that most of you probably know, D. James Kennedy, who's now with the Lord and who is behind the evangelism outreach ministry, Evangelism Explosion. He used to tell the story about how he first began his ministry in Fort Lauderdale with 45 people, who in the first year of his ministry reduced to 17 people. He said that he realized that if things continued to go this way, it wouldn't be long before he was just preaching to his wife. And she was starting to show interest in the Baptist church down the road. So it was at that time that an old friend, Kennedy Smart, another Kennedy, a minister in Georgia, invited James Kennedy to be involved in an evangelistic outreach at his church, which was D. James Kennedy thought that was ironic, given his experience up to this point in his own church. But Kennedy Smart said, you know, I want you to come with me. And they visited a lot of people. And there were evangelistic meetings. And two things that Jim Kennedy saw from this. One, he saw over 50 people profess faith in Christ. And second, he realized that he didn't know how to present the gospel very well. So he went back and out of that developed this ministry, which we now know as Evangelism Explosion. And over the next 12 years, his church grew from 17 to 2,000. And so, again, we are looking into ways to better encourage and equip all of us to be people who are sharing our faith with other people. We should be moved to be engaged in the work of seeking and of gathering. God's plans are sure. What He has said, He's going to carry out. And we can go about this with confidence, knowing that that's the case. God will have his people. He will bring them in. The question is, are we going to be a part of that? This is the heart of God. This is his plan. This is his passion. And so gathering should be our passion too. Let's become a part of God's vision to gather a community that is living for Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have used your servants throughout our life experiences to gather us in, to bring us in as your people. We thank you for the great hope that we have in our shepherd who rules over us, who laid down his life for us, who has promised us eternal life. Lord, help us to be faithful in following Jesus as the good shepherd, as the great shepherd. And help us to follow him in his gathering work. Lord, we can't do these things on our own. We have no strength to change human hearts. Only you can do that. And so we call upon you for your strength and for your wisdom. And we ask, Lord, for the privilege of being able to see your great and mighty work done even in our midst. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.